time with our Heavenly Father more and more and more. Hopefully, you are sensing His presence better than ever before, and that His Word is more alive to you than before. And I feel like so often when we go into this season, it's kind of an unknown season for us. We don't know what God's going to do. And I always am excited to see exactly what He wants to do with our church family. So if you haven't turned in, and even if you have turned in a prayer request, and you would like to do our last week for us to put it on our daily prayer time, the paper are in the back by the offering box out the door. And just write on there your prayer request, drop it in the offering box, and our church will pray for that this week. And also, there's the prayer board outside. I came up during the week and just sat with the prayer board, and I enjoyed so much sitting there praying over every single prayer on the prayer board. It was very fun for me just to sit with Jesus on the things you all are asking for. Just so you know, ladies, we have a bunch of guys looking for godly wives out there on that board. Just letting you know that. So if you are a godly single lady, you might just want to start talking to God about these guys whose names are on the board, too. They put their names there. So go check out those names, girls, okay? Yeah. But praying over those, what a treat. So don't miss that. When you're drinking your coffee, go stand over by that board and pray over some. You don't have to do all of them, but what your eyes hit, pray for that one. Every Sunday, we're going to continue having it there. You can keep adding to it. If God's answered a prayer, do the other side. There's two on the other side, which are so fun. Praise God for the other side, and praise God that He is working in our prayer requests. And I'm excited to see what God's going to say and do for us. Have you ever been on a roller coaster? Who has not ever been on a roller coaster? Aww, I'm sorry. So roller coasters, you see them, you know, like even when you're driving to the amusement park, you can see roller coasters from far, far, far away. And as a child, we would get so excited because we could see them. I'm riding that one first. So my favorite was always the loop-de-loops that would do that, where you go upside down when it flips you upside down and around. Those were my favorite. But there is this one called the Texas Giant, and it's made out of wood. I don't know now. I should have looked it up. When it was built, it was considered the largest all-wood roller coaster in the world. So I don't know. And it like this. It slings you like crazy. I love that one. Man, I like that one. So there are some of them. There's one that I actually at, also in Texas, that I actually pass out for a little bit. When you come off of this edge and you sling around real fast, everything goes black for just a few seconds. That is awesome. Awesome. So those of you who've been on a roller coaster, you know this sound. Strap in, belts all buckled over you. That guy comes or lady and pushes that bar down, but there's still a space. And you go, I think I might could come out of this space, you know, because there is that space. And then here we go. Click, 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 and you start feeling it because you are going up. I always like to be at the end because it's wilder at the end because it slings you really fast. Click, click, and all of a sudden you start feeling it. Your stomach starts getting tight. You start gripping that bar. You start wondering, I hope it holds me. I know it. I'm about to pass out for a few seconds. I hope I'm still in this when I come back. Click, click, click. And all of a sudden you start seeing that the front of the line is disappearing, but you're still clicking up, and then you start that free falling. That's anxiety. That describes anxiety. Click, click, click. You know that there is a problem ahead, and you are heading straight towards it. You're bracing for that drop that hasn't even happened yet. Our teenagers feel it every time they go to school, when their grades come out, when they see a cluster of kids that maybe they don't fit into. Our adults feel it when the boss calls them in, when they open certain emails, when they open a bill. Students also feel it when their grades actually get posted in the newspaper. I don't know why you do this to our children over here, but when their grades get posted in the newspaper, anxiety doesn't care how old you are. It chooses every one of us, and it whispers, you are not safe. You're alone. You're about to go under. The Bible tells us something very, very different about that. You and I were never meant to live as slaves to fear. Starting in Romans 8:15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In that phrase, it says falling back into fear. Fear actually takes us backwards. It's a backwards move when we feel afraid. Fear enslaves us, and anxiety becomes our master. It controls us. Brian, I've been talking about, it's not just here. It takes over your body. Definitely takes over everything, and it becomes your master. It tells you, you've got to get control of everything. And before long, it's fear isn't just something you feel. You begin to think, this is me. I'm just a fearful person, and I think I'm going to live like this forever. I am going to be an anxious person. But Paul says in this verse, you did not, in Christ Jesus, receive a spirit of fear. We received a spirit of adoption. The word Abba means daddy, intimate, safe, and close. God has adopted us through his son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:1 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Can you imagine, in reality, God standing right beside you? This one's mine. This one's mine. Picture yourself, God, arm around you, telling people, this one's mine. He says, I've called you by name. You and I belong to him. Anxiety thrives when our identity is fragile, when we don't really know who we belong to. Teens very often are identifying with popularity, so they're fearing rejection. Adults very often identify with performance, so they fear failure. Peace begins when we choose to shift our identity. When anxiety begins to rise, when we start feeling it, practice this. And you say it out loud. I am not a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Just like this song we just sang. I am not a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sometimes when our mouth says something that our heart does not believe, it begins to tell our mind, you need to listen. And we say it. And we say it. I'm a child of God. I don't have to be afraid. You can sing it. You can pray out loud. I pray out loud when I really need my mind to focus and when I need my mind to calm down. I pray out loud then because I need my mind to hear what my mouth is saying. And I believe that's really a good way to move out of fear, is to speak those words so your brain and your body can hear what it's saying. Sing songs of worship that remind you of your God, the one you belong to. I keep a radio playing music. I have a little speaker in my kitchen. I spend a lot of time baking in the kitchen, and praise songs are going all the time to just remind me of who I am. And nothing I have read that morning is going to not be under the control of that God I'm singing about. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, again, that a spirit of fear is not from God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is not the author of chaos. His plan, he has a plan for a calm mind. Now let's look at Matthew 14. And you know this story. The disciples are getting into Jesus is sending them on ahead so he can let the crowds go, telling them to go ahead and get into the boat. And he's told them to go ahead of him, and he is spending time praying. He's just heard that day that his friend John the Baptist has been beheaded. So he wants some time with God. And the Bible tells us in verse 24, as the disciples were out at sea, a storm arose, and the boat, it says, this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Some of you feel pretty beaten right now. If you don't feel it today, you have felt it before. You feel truly beaten by the storm you're in. You're not destroyed yet. You're pretty worn out. And here's what I love about this story of Jesus. He didn't wait and calm the storm first. He walked straight into it. Why would Jesus walk straight into a storm? Because he's the creator of all that. Why wouldn't he walk through this? He made the water. He made the wind. He made every detail of this chaos that was happening on the sea. He knew it, and he walked straight into the storm. Verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch means between 3 and 6 a.m., the darkest time of the night. Jesus shows up for us in the darkest time of the night. He's always there in our darkest moments. And then in verse 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Some of you are actually waiting for the sea to calm down before you begin to trust him. But peace does not come from the absence of a storm. Peace only comes from Jesus showing up in the storm. You're not going to find peace just because there's no storm. Storms happen. Peace comes when our Jesus shows up. So Peter, our sweet Peter, enthusiastically shouts, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water. Not in the water, on the water. Jesus says one word, come. Can you see it? They're all the boats still going crazy. The waves are going wild. The rain's pelting them, the wind. And Jesus says, come, come on. When anxiety hits, what do? Sometimes we just go to our phone and start scrolling. Sometimes we go isolate ourselves, be by ourselves. Sometimes we numb ourselves with something. We begin to overthink it. But Peter, what does he do? He goes toward Jesus, and he begins to move toward our Jesus. I tell you, finding peace in God requires movement. We have to start moving towards him when anxiety spikes. You take a breath, you breathe a breath, and as you're breathing in and breathing out, you say, Jesus, I see this storm, but I see you in this storm. And then we pray very specifically, what is making us so anxious? God's actually given us a plan for peace in this world in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I tell you, I think that's one of the first things. This whole thing is God's plan for peace. Rejoice. Thank God. Find things to be happy about and to thank God for. Praise him for things that you know are wonderful, where he has been, why you can trust him. And then number five, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. There that is. Now you reason. Jesus is here. That's your reasoning. You're rejoicing, remembering who God is, and then you remember that Jesus is here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This is where we be very specific. You don't just say, help me. You can say that. I start with that. I usually say to God when I'm afraid, here I am again. I'm terrified. I'm not okay. I need you to give me peace. I can't think straight. I'm really not okay, God. And I start naming it. This is what I'm scared of. I name those. You don't generalize it. You start telling him, I'm afraid of losing whatever. I'm afraid of what this doctor is going to tell me. I'm afraid I'm going to fail and live forever with my parents, you teenagers. Or we parents say, I am afraid you teenagers are going to live with us forever. We name it very specifically to our God, what we're fearing. We say these specific prayers, and that actually invites specific peace. And when you look at that, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus against what is happening. Not that it does away with what's happening, but it guards it. It puts a soldier around you, an army. I love the name of God, of Lord of Heaven's armies. He posts his warring angels. I ask for that all the time. I need a lot of those guys, God. Would you put them all around me? I'm not okay. Post your angels all around. And then he says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We're flipping our mind, thinking about something else. Instead of yikes, 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 we start thinking of things that are worthy of God to be praised. And we start saying, God, you've always been here. I can trust you. You're a mighty God. You're bigger than this that I'm going through. I'm going to cling to you. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is Paul, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We are to practice choosing peace. Prayer is a practice of going against anxiety. We begin to practice this. It doesn't just happen in the day of stress. You practice this every day. When you find something just kind of agitating you, practice this. I choose, Jesus, this just annoyed me. Would you help me feel calm right now? Would you take that thought away from me? Give me your peace. Those little things, you practice in the little things every single day. Peter didn't just run out across the ocean. He first stepped outside of the boat. And faith in Jesus takes one step at a time. And when you start sinking, Peter crawls out of the boat, starts walking on the water, and then he looks at the wind, it says. He looks at the waves, verses 30 and 31, and he begins to sink. He sees the problem. His eyes have shifted. You've heard this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Remember that song. We're supposed to be looking at him, and the second we shift our eyes off of him, then we see the problems again. And then the fear sets in once again. Some of you are right there. Your eyes have actually shifted, and you are looking at the waves. You're sinking. You're not drowning, but you're sinking. Your joy is fading. Your hope is thinning. Your sleep is not so swell. And then you see Peter's words as he begins to sink. Three words. Lord, save me. I don't think he said it like that. Lord, save me. Can't you just hear him? Man, it's desperate. Are you crying desperately for Jesus to save you? Desperation in your heart. Lord, save me. That's pretty specific. And immediately it says, Jesus reached out his hand. Immediately. He didn't wait. And do you know, every time, and I'm serious about this, every time I have said to God, here I am again, I am terrified. I need you to be my peace. I can't think straight. I feel his peace, and it truly starts right here. It's a feeling in my body. I feel it start in my head and just kind of starts going all the way down to my toes. I feel a physical peace come over me. I don't know how you feel it, but I truly experience when I say, I'm terrified. Would you be my peace? It just starts coming, like pouring it over my head. It's amazing. Immediately, he shows up with his peace. Peace is not found in perfect faith. It's found in a perfect God. So yours and my faith is very wobbly. Hopefully it's getting stronger, but it's pretty wobbly. So we need to know, it's not my words, it's not my strength, it's not my faith in my faith, it's my faith in my Jesus that's going to give us this peace as we cry out to him. It is only found in our Jesus. So don't wait until you feel spiritually strong to cry out to him. When anxiety starts whispering at you, cry out quickly to him. Lord, save me. I'm not okay. Invite Jesus in early. The goal isn't just to survive the storm, just to hold on until it's over. Storms are promised. This story of Peter teaches us that waves that threaten you can become the place that you and I meet Jesus the most deeply. I love, personally, I don't know if you do, people, I think most of you do because you send me a lot of these stories. I love stories of people who have been in the storm and they came out with Jesus victoriously. True? I mean, y'all send me those all the time. They're awesome stories. They're really encouraging. I love them. I go, wow, that's awesome. But nobody on purpose signs up for a storm. They don't have a little book and go, I'd like to have a storm on Tuesday. We don't sign up for storms. We like their stories, but I would like for it to be their story, not mine. So we don't enjoy going through them. But faith that has never been tested never grows. It never, ever becomes stronger. Peter didn't discover he could walk on the water by staying in the boat. He didn't discover he could walk on water by sitting on the shore. He discovered it in high winds and tall waves. And that's how our growing our faith actually works. When everything is stable, we say we trust God. We always do. Yeah, I trust God. Sure. It's great. God's wonderful. But when that diagnosis comes, a relationship ends, our money runs thin, our child rebels, anxiety doesn't lift, that's when we find out, truly, what are we standing on? Storms reveal whether our peace is built on circumstances or truly on Jesus. They start showing that. There's a story that I think you probably have sung as a child. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know that's and the foolish. So when he built his house upon the rock, our Jesus, when the storms come, that house stood. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the storm came. And then what did his house do? Splat. The house on the sand went splat. What is your foundation? Is it built on Jesus or is it built on circumstances? Is it going to stand the test of time, or is it going to be washed away? Are you going to wobble? Are you going to say, I don't trust Jesus anymore? He wasn't there for me. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. I'm not going to follow him anymore. That's a sand foundation. The difference in the two, it's not the weather. The weather is still the same. If you read that story, both of them, the storms come. But one is a firm foundation built on our Jesus. Peter had seen many miracles with Jesus. He'd been watching him, following him. He'd been hearing his teaching. He'd watched Jesus actually calm storms before. But there is something different about walking through one yourself. So we can listen to everybody's stories and go, that's really awesome. That's a mighty God. Until you and I walk through one, we don't know God that way. When Peter began to sink and cried, Lord, save me, that is the moment Peter experienced something he'd never known before. The grip of Jesus. How strong the grip of Jesus is in the middle of the storm when he was sinking. He learned how to desperately reach out for Jesus and how Jesus grabbed him in a way that he would never let go. Anxiety often shows us the illusion that we are in control. But when we finally release control, we find closeness with Jesus like never before. Our faith grows under resistance. It's the only way it will happen. All you little muscle builder guys and ladies, you know, resistant training is so important. So it's the same with our faith. God gives us opportunities for our faith to grow. He gives us that chance. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our storms, our testing of our faith, produces endurance, steadfastness, maturity in our faith, all the things to be perfect. It says that we would be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I say after a storm, evaluate you and Jesus. Look back over that storm. Think of yourself. How did I do? I really blew that one. I evaluated a storm recently, and my conclusion was, that was really a dumb way to handle that storm that day. I really didn't handle it very well. I evaluated it, and Jesus and I talked about it, and I told him, I don't want to ever do that again. I don't want to do a storm like that again. Don't allow me to do it that way. I want to be bold. I want to be strong. I don't want to wobble. I want to be so connected to you, Jesus, that my stomach doesn't hurt, that my body's not shaking. I evaluate the storms after they're over. And Jesus and I talk about them. The version of you and me after a storm is not the same as before the storm. We are never the same after the storm. You who have lost people you love, you know, you are never the same. You are forever changed. But your faith given to Jesus becomes stronger. You might become more compassionate, more grounded in God's word, not as easily shaken. Every trial will make your faith grow stronger if, and only if, you pursue our Jesus in the middle of it. If you don't pursue Jesus in the middle of the storm, you can become very bitter. You can become very lost and not know who your God is. Storms make us bolder in our faith. They give us a new God story to tell. Matthew 14, 32 to 33 says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. After this moment, the disciples worship Jesus, recognizing who he is. He's the Son of God. Storms clarify to you and me who Jesus is. They show us a mighty, mighty God. When he carries you through something you thought would destroy you, you are going to know a mighty God after it's over. You don't sing the same way. You don't pray the same way. You don't worship the same way. You are forever changed by our Jesus in the middle of the storm. In the book of Job, not on the PowerPoint, but he says, I love this verse in Job where he says to God, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. That's that change. It's a baby faith until you see him with your own eyes. It's the faith of your parents that you are holding on to until you have to trust him for yourself. And it's no longer a baby faith. It is a faith that you can go forward in all the days of your life here, that you can cling to. That kind of faith, that's what produces joy. That's what produces peace. Not because these waves are going to disappear. They're not. But because you know who is holding you in the middle of the waves. You know he's got that grip on you, and he's not going to let you go. Just imagine Peter and Jesus when they crawl back in the boat. I can just see Peter like a little dog that fell in the water, all just soaking wet, water dripping off of him. He's probably shaking, he's sputtering and everything, but he's changed. He's changed forever. Peter walked on water with Jesus, forever changed. And he also discovered, not just walked on water, he also discovered that Jesus was there when he was sinking. Don't miss that part of this story. He had two wonderful new views of God. God could help him do things he never thought he could do before. And God would rescue him from places he never thought he could be rescued from. I can just see Peter getting on there. He had just walked where he normally would have thought he could drown. And when he gets on that boat and he finally just kind of looks at himself, these are a bunch of young guys. Don't you know they're all going, that was awesome. That was amazing. If they were today, they would be high-fiving. They are going crazy wild. And then they say, man, you really are the Son of God, aren't you, Jesus? That was awesome. Some of you are still sitting in the boat and you're clinging. You know something's coming. You feel a little safe. You think you're under control, but you're not. Jesus is inviting you with that word. Come, let me show you something you haven't seen before. Let me take you to a place. Not going to be easy, but when it's over, you're going to say, that was awesome, Jesus. Thank you for inviting me into that storm. If you feel like you're sinking today, cry out to Jesus. Just start with that three words, help me, Jesus. I need help. Some of you are in the middle of the waves, but you're also realizing and you're certain he's got that grip on you. You don't feel like you're sinking. You know he's got you. You feel his presence more than any other time in your life. He is so, so there. And the storm that was meant to drown you is the storm where you're going to discover a sweetness of Jesus you've never known before. Some of you will look back at this season and say, that was the storm that changed everything. That was the storm when my faith grew so much that you can say, thank you for that storm. That was hard. That was the worst in my life. But thank you. Thank you for showing me who you are in that storm. It changes everything when you go through that one. Remember this. Remember that moment. Remember who Jesus has been in the past. And when you hit that next one, because it is a when. In Isaiah, it tells you, and when you walk through the waters, they will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. You will not. You remember that, and you hold on to that truth when you hit these storms again. You can stand in the storms now You're standing now because you know a mighty God in the middle of the storm. And do you know what? The more you stand and learn to stand in a storm, the more you're going to go, do I hear music? I think I can dance on these waves. Because Jesus is our forever dance partner. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the storms. I thank you where you have shown us sides of you, Jesus, that we would have never known if the seas had stayed calm. Thank you for how you love us so much that you never want us to endure it by ourselves, but you promise to meet us in the middle in the darkest times. Lord, I pray that you would prompt us to cry out, Jesus, help us quickly, that we don't wait, that we find your peace quickly and experience your mighty, mighty love that you have for each one of us. Jesus, I thank you that you never left us alone and you will not leave us alone in our future. So everything looks great because you're there. So Jesus, we give you all of our anxiety, our worries. I ask you, please heal us of this. Take this out of us. Replace it with your forever peace. These things I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.